We've been on this series, Tough Times, Big God, and I don't think I have to go into great detail to describe the tough times that we have been in. 2021 seems to be like 2020, just with a new haircut. And earlier in this year, you know, we're still in pandemic, the effects of that. We had a tumultuous political and election season. And even now, things are still kind of playing out with great conflict, polarization, partisanship. And even locally, you know, things throughout our city, the homeless issue is still going on. There's crime is increased. And so, yeah, while we recognize that there are some improvements going on, we still have a long way to go before we kind of get to this point where we can exhale and kind of say, well, things are a little bit better. Well, so, again, we understand about being in tough times. 2020 has affected us all. According to the American Psychological Association, nearly 8 in 10 adults in the U.S., that's 78%, say the coronavirus pandemic is a significant source of stress in their lives. And 2 in 3 adults, 67%, say that they have experienced increased stress over the course of the pandemic. The APA goes on to say that Gen Z teenagers ages 13 to 17, as well as Gen Z adults ages 18 to 23, are facing unprecedented uncertainty, are experiencing elevated stress, and are already reporting symptoms of depression. It's been a tough year. 2020 has been a tough year for a lot of us, if not all of us. Stress is this feeling of emotional, mental, and physical tension. It's a coping mechanism we've all expressed in some way or experienced in some way to some degree or to another. Today, in this message and in our series, we want to look at what God says about stress. What God says about stress. And stress is a sense of being overwhelmed or stretched in situations or circumstances that are kind of pressing upon us. It could be caused by some physical force, which can actually lead to physical symptoms of illness or pain. It can have that type of reaction upon us. Stress can range from mild anxiety to full-blown panic attacks. It could be as simple as, you know, the stress that comes from a project that we have or finances or even relationships. Or they could be all those things just piled on one after another and on top of each other. Stress in and of itself isn't unholy or isn't unrighteous, and it's not even wrong. There's no morality qualifier to stress or attached to stress. Its causes, however, might be. For example, you might be stressed taking care of your elderly parents or stressed trying to find a job. And so there's no moral issue attached to that. There's no immorality about that. But on the other hand, you might be stressed if you're trying to cheat on an exam or you're plotting a crime. Those are wrong and possibly immoral or unethical. And so that can cause you stress or negative stress. Today, I want to frame the issue of stress in light of a big, gracious, and redeeming God. And I trust that as we look at the scriptures, that the Lord will provide you personal application. I hope that by understanding stress in the context of our faith, that we will know how to approach our own personal stress and the stress that we experience. So let me start by saying this, that stress is a condition of a broken world. Stress is a condition of a broken world. I'm going to take us back, way back, to the creation account in Genesis. And I want us to see what God intended in creation, because we already know what we're living in now. So I wanted to just kind of do a contrast, kind of like the memes that we see, you know, how it started and how it's going. We already know how it's going, so I want us to see how it started. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, and I'm going to read from portions of it. The verses I'm going to read for us are going to be on your screen, or you can kind of track along in your own Bibles. Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he placed the man he had formed. The Lord God caused to grow out of the ground every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. Verse 19, the Lord God formed out of the ground every wild animal and every bird of the sky and brought each to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave to all the livestock, to the birds of the sky, and to every wild animal. Verse 22, then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. Verse 25, both the man and his wife were naked, yet felt no shame. So God creates and Eden is paradise. God creates and Eden is paradise. As we read here, Adam must work and tend to his garden. But you get the sense from reading this that the work is not a problem. Everything in Eden is ideal and without hardship. There's no complaining about the lack of pay. There's no complaining about his back or his sore knees. There's this work. This absence of this work-related stress. Adam also has the task to name all these living creatures. So there's a responsibility that he has. Can you imagine the hundreds, if not thousands, of animals and creatures and everything else that he has to name? And whatever he names it, that's it. That's what it's called. What a task, what a responsibility that he has. But there's no anxiety described here, or there's frustration with coming up with a name, or frustration with fulfilling this task. Then God creates for him a wife. Oh no, here we go. Marriage. There is bound to be stress in a marriage, right? Some possible conversations I can imagine. I'm working all day and you're off to the spa again. You bought another set of golf clubs. Oh, honey, vegetables for dinner again. Honey, your child is crying. Perhaps I'm kind of telegraphing my own conversations here. But it is safe to speculate from what we've read here, and I think it's safe to conclude that there was no bickering, that there were no disagreements, no walking on eggshells as it related to their relationship here. So all that tension, all that stress just wasn't there. So we find here in this passage in Genesis 2, we find here in Eden there is work, there's responsibility and relationships, but no signs of stress or being overwhelmed or signs of tension and anxiety. In God's creation plan, there is such a thing. as daily life. And there is such a thing as human relationships. Yet we sense that all of this, in this particular environment, there is harmony and there is peace and there is joy. Coming back to our world today, it's so different about how we think about how things should go that might cause stress. We think, if it causes me stress, I wish that thing would be gone. We often imagine all the areas, we often imagine and wish that the things that brought us strain or difficulty would just disappear. How many of us have dreamt? I know I have. This job or the school is the worst. I wish I could just win the Mega Millions and not have to do this anymore. Remove the work, remove the stress, right? That's the way that we think. Oh man, these kids are just driving me nuts. They cost so much and they eat so much and we always have to house them. I wish we didn't have kids. No kids, no stress. In our minds, we want God to just kind of pluck out the things that cause us stress or to remove us from certain situations so that we wouldn't have to experience that stress. Stress from work, work, disappear. Stress from kids, kids, disappear. Stress from marriage, get a new spouse. But that isn't God's plan. And God wasn't just going to have us sit around and do nothing, to occupy a lazy boy chair and just sit there and do nothing. He didn't want us to just have no responsibilities or no tasks or to even live in isolation. Nope. Daily life, even in paradise, included work, responsibilities, people, and relationships. So what went wrong? Well, we know the sad events that occurred. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. The deception of the serpent planted the seed of doubt and of distrust, and eventually pride led to disobedience. Eve, then Adam, ate the fruit that God had instructed them not to eat. Sin, which is anything not of righteousness and holiness and of perfection of God, had entered into this world, and sin had entered into paradise. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they hid from God and they experienced shame and anxiety. That was the end of a stress-free world. Well, here we are, living those consequences. The consequences of sin, the consequences of a broken relationship with God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis 3, next chapter over, verse 16. And we'll be able to see or read some consequences here. He said to the woman, "I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children with painful effort. Your desire will be for your husband, yet he will rule over you." So childbirth was supposed to be less painful. I didn't say it wasn't painful, but less painful. And there wouldn't have been any of the hardships of raising children here. Likewise, our marriages were established with a harmonious dynamic. That was the intention. But instead, now it's marred with inequality and subjugation. An order had to be arranged going forward from that point. Genesis 3:17. "To the man, God said, 'The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. You will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it. For you are dust, and you will return to dust.'" Here is stress. Here is worry, pain, and struggles that contribute to our stress. Here's a world which you and I are so familiar with, and the things that we experience on a daily, if not regular, basis. We were made to labor, but now it's painful. And our labor will not be easy, but it will include thorns and thistles. It will involve sweat, possibly even tears. And since that day until now, we live with stress, with strain, and with anxiety and hardship. The consequences make us ask. The consequences make us ask. Before the fall, what made it possible for Adam and Eve to live daily without the stress? Right? So we see what God had created and established, and then we experience or we know of what of the consequences of sin. So what made the difference? I recognize sin, but there was something that had to have been significantly altered because of sin. What allowed them to go about each day and not experience the strains that we do? It's hard to imagine such a time and such an environment, but it did exist. If we look back at Genesis 3, we can see a repeated reference of the work of God and his authority. I have on the screen here a number of verses starting from 8 to 22, but you'll be able to pick up the pattern here in what's written in the scriptures here. Genesis 2, verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden. The Lord God caused to grow out. The Lord God took the man, verse 15, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper. The Lord God formed out of the ground, so on. 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep. Verse 22, then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. It's obvious to see the pattern here. It's obvious to see how God was present in all that he was doing. And he was also very present in the lives of Adam and Eve. He established what Adam and Eve were to do, and he was involved in it. It is safe to conclude that God was very connected to the daily lives of his beloved. In our Christian terms, we would say that's intimate fellowship with God. We might have this false idea about God that after 6 days of creation and work, God just kind of checked out. He literally took a rest and took a really long nap. He pulled out, you know, his own lazy boy and just kind of plopped himself down, and that's it, didn't do anything else. But that is not the case. And we can imagine that when Adam and Eve had work, had responsibilities, that God was there with them, and God was engaged in their work. I think this reveals the desire and the plans of God. He's not only a creator, but he wanted to be involved, connected to their daily affairs. He wanted to establish a presence in all the things that they were doing. He was the one who would provide guidance. He was the one who would provide resources, encouragement, and relief. We can imagine that because that is within the character of God. The strains that might be typically involved in our daily affairs or in their daily affairs were absent because God's presence and God's influence were there also. His position as Lord was established over Adam and Eve. If we can imagine this, then all the things that might cause stress or contribute to it are absent because God was involved, right? In Eden, in paradise, where there's this wonderful fellowship between Adam and Eve and God, and he was involved in their lives on a daily basis, then there wasn't stress. There wasn't anxiety. There wasn't strain, because God was there to provide for them, to comfort them, to support them, to encourage them. He was there, involved in their daily lives. But the day that sin entered the world is the day that Adam and Eve acted on their own. For they fell for the deceit of the serpent rather than to rely on the counsel of God. And ever since then, our lives and our days have been all the more complicated, have been more stressful, and has been just much more difficult because we've been trying to do it without God, without his approval, without his support, and without his counsel. They are so much more difficult because we said, God, thanks, but I think I got this. Oh, God, yeah, thanks, but you know what? I'll handle this. It's not because God rejected us, but it's because we're rejecting God that we have so much stress in our lives. Paradise and Eden are long gone, and we now live in this broken world. There are the global things that cause us stress, from famine to war to natural disasters, pandemics, so on. And then there are the local things that cause us stress, such as our finances, our work, our health, our relationships, so on and so forth. And outside of Eden, stress is common because, again, it is a condition of a broken world. But here is the good news. Here is the good news. Despite that we're living through the consequences of sin, God has not checked out. And he's still wanting to be involved in our daily affairs. Yes, sin had occurred, but that didn't mean that God kind of stopped paying attention to us, or that God just kind of stopped working, or that God suspended his love and his care. That's not the case at all. Yes, we are in this broken world, but God continues to work. God continues to provide. God continues to love us tremendously. Believe it or not, God is seeking reconciliation and a relationship with us, his created, even to this day. And not only is he wanting this relationship with each of us through Jesus Christ, but as evidence within the scriptures, he's still wanting to influence our work and responsibilities, our families, and our relationships. He wants to help with the stress of the things that we experience, if not totally remove them. What God had intended in Eden is still true for today. He still desires to be our Lord, a counselor, and helper if we let him. He still wants to be involved in our daily activities if we invite him. And he still seeks a say in our decisions and our plans if we ask him. So, based on who he is, stress can be removed. It can be bearable, it can be fruitful, or purposeful when God is involved. Let me say that again. So based on who he is, stress can be removed, bearable, fruitful, or purposeful when God is involved. I'm going to present some really broad headings to you, and some supporting passages to show that God wants to help us with our stress. Again, if not to totally remove it, if we allow him. And I'm just going to kind of give some headings here and some passages, and I hope that through the truth of God's word, it will speak to you. And again, you'll be able to frame stressed in a certain way in light of or in context of a big, gracious, and redeeming God. Before I get to these headings, I want to qualify the stress that God will be involved in himself. First, God is holy and righteous, and he will convict us of wrongdoing, and he will never enable us to do it. So, promoting or advancing sin goes against his nature. So if you're involved or pursuing something that is wrong or against God's standard, don't expect him to be involved in that and supporting you, regardless of how much stress that may cause. If it is against him, then he's not going to be involved in that. He's not going to save you from something that you have decided to do that is against him. Secondly, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Some of the causes of our stress come from our own pride. They're self-imposed. They're kind of punishments that we do to ourselves. We engage in activities because it may promote us, or it may promote our agenda, or it may kind of strive to take care of ourselves only. So if that's the case, then you're going to have a hard time finding God involved in that, or because you are thinking only about your own interests, you're not leaving room for God to be involved. We can also just kind of create stress because we've acted foolishly. We make poor decisions. We don't seek counsel. And we're just kind of living in those situations of stress because of, again, foolishness or bad decisions there. So much time on my hand. Sometimes I see these videos on Facebook or on Instagram where people are doing these really crazy stunts. They're trying to ride their bicycle down an escalator, or they're trying to ride something else, a big giant ramp and land. But then they end up really just kind of eating it, and they're breaking bones and cracking heads, or they've damaged stuff. Now, if people were to experience that, they say, oh, now I have so much stress because of my injury here. Well, I would have a hard time saying God. I would have a hard time imagining God say, oh, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and help you recover from that after your dumb decision. So sometimes we bring on upon ourselves really a lot of stress because of bad decisions. But again, God is in the job of redemption. If we ask forgiveness, if we kind of turn from our ways, if we humble ourselves, God will help us kind of move forward from that. So again, while God will convict you of what is wrong and help you toward what is good, he will never remove the stress because of the choice that we make or the opposition that we put up against him. So let me go ahead and continue with these headings. So how may God help us with our stress? First, orient your life and activities towards God's purposes. Orient your life and activities towards God's purposes. Matthew 6:25 and 10:31. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 31. So don't worry, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what we will wear? Your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. If we align ourselves with the interests of God and we pursue righteousness in our characters and in our deeds, the things that we think are important and worry about get handled by God. Again, if we are focused on God and his interests, the things that we thought were important will be handled by God. God is saying, as our Heavenly Father, seek after me and my qualities, and I will take care of all your stuff. Invite me in and I will take care of you. Second, let God carry your stress. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because He cares for you. God is able and wants you to carry all your concerns that you may be carrying if you allow him. He's very willing to say, give it to me, if we are willing to hand it over. I'm one of those people who never want to burden others. I might be carrying a backpack. I'll have some things holding under my arms, and I'll have two bags, and I'm trying to make it into a place there. And all on my own, you know, I've just got it all balanced, and I'm moving along. And then someone who has their hands totally free, very willing, will come up to me and ask, hey, can I give you a hand? And I'll say, no, I got it. It's all balanced. I got it. Well, if you could just grab the door, that's okay. That would be helpful. But I got this. So I'm going forward with all this baggage, and I'm unwilling to unload it to someone who's available to help. And I think this is the same way, that God is very willing to carry loads for us, but too proud to say, yeah, here, help me. So I hope that we take the passage to heart here, that we would humble ourselves and say, you know, I can't carry all of this, and I don't even want to carry all of this. God, will you help me? And God will gladly say, yeah, I will. Third, let God replace your stress. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Through prayer, when we lay ourselves bare before God, he replaces our stress with his peace. When we petition to God with our needs and with our worries, God says, let me take that from you, and then you can take my peace. I mean, the first instance was we hand it over for God, and God says, I will take it. I will relieve you from it. But here, not only will God take it, but he'll say, here's my peace for you. But that's if we pray. That's if we ask of God. If we block out that time to pray. If we give God time in prayer, then he will hear us. Excuse me. Fourth, let God transform you in your stress. Let God transform you in your stress. Two passages here. James 1, 2 to 4. Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, when you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. 1 Peter 1, 6 to 7. You rejoice in this, and even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God is in the business of renovation and makeovers. He can take what's broken and make something new. We may experience stress and turmoil and hardship and trials, but God can use those events, use that time, and to mold us and to remake us so that we are mature and that we are refined. And ultimate, the result will be praise, glory, and honor. We may live in a broken world that brings us a lot of stress, but God, since the beginning of creation, has not stopped being present. Even today, he desires to engage in our daily lives so that we may experience his peace and his joy, even in the midst of stress, and he can remove that stress. I just want to be very specific for one moment. I know I've spoken in really broad terms and broad headings with these passages here, but I just want to speak very specifically for a moment. For some of us, we may experience severe stress. Stress that may lead to depression, and that depression may include self-harm or even considering suicide. If that's the case, I encourage you to seek the Lord through prayer, through the scriptures, but in addition to that, to seek help from others. Because God can work through others and what they know, perhaps what they've experienced, and they can give counsel. So if you are in that place of severe stress that leads to depression and you are experiencing or doing some of these things or you're considering these things like self-harm and suicide, I do ask that you do seek help. And the people that you usually, the people that you reach out to, they are very willing to listen, very willing to come beside you. We do have kind of an upstart ministry of people who are willing to care and people who are willing to listen. You can email them at care@fcbc.org, and they will keep everything confidential, and they will listen to you, and they will do their very best to get help and counsel for you. Or you can go online and just kind of enter in information about suicide and or suicide prevention, and there'll be a number of resources in which you can call and to get help for. So I know that this particular issue is very serious, and I don't want to just kind of lump it in all the big categories that I've mentioned. And so I just want to make that available and make that known to you. Again, our God is big, our God is compassionate, our God is gracious, and he's in the business of redeeming, and he wants to be able to redeem every aspect of our lives, even our daily lives. And in so doing, I believe that he will remove some of the stress, or he will guide us through some of the things that we experience, or he will even remove those issues from us so that we can be less stressful. And in the process, we will be changed and we will be transformed. Let's pray together. Lord, even before the beginning of time, even before creation, you've always been the same in your character. You've always been caring, compassionate, graceful, gracious, and graceful. And Lord, you've always had an interest in your creation. And so even today, while we may suffer the consequences of sin, and we may suffer a lot of the stress that comes from different issues and different matters, Lord, you have been consistent in your grace and your mercy and your caring and in your redemption. Nothing's ever changed with you. So Lord, we commit our situations to you. We commit our worries to you. We commit our anxieties and our stress to you. And we know that, Lord, you will take him. And Lord, you can heal us. You will mend our hearts. You will lift up our heads. You're the one who will give us a brighter tomorrow because your work is in action. So Lord, may we trust in you. Even though this world is broken, may we fall into your loving arms because they are available for us. We pray all this in the beautiful, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.